This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Mark Blacksoul joins me live on the program. He is the co-author of The Age of Autism, the new must-read book, Mercury Medicine and Man and a Man-Made Epidemic. He is also one of the founders and editors at The Age of Autism, the daily web newspaper of the autism epidemic, online at ageofautism.com. Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, and congratulations on that bath time breakthrough.
It is. I'm sure you can.
Small victories are very welcome all the time.
I'm sure you can so appreciate this, how it's just all of a sudden something will change, and then you never know when it will change back and if it will. And the fact that he was excited to take a bath and got right in there and started playing with his toys just all of a sudden after a year. I'm sure you can appreciate these little victories that we celebrate.
The little victories and the little setbacks are all part of a unique existence. It's an interesting world we live in.
Yeah, and you've certainly heard these and many other stories as you have traveled the country with your co-author Dan Olmsted, meeting with caregivers and parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts, talking about their own stories. What's that been like as you've been out in the country and meeting with so many people whose lives have been completely and irrevocably changed by autism?
It's actually been an extraordinary experience, Coy. I tell people I now know a little bit what it's like to be on a political campaign, because you travel around to all different places, different venues, groups large and small, and you give the same speech over and over again. But what's been extraordinary is just the families that we've met and how similar our stories are. And I spend a lot of time communicating online, and you get to know a community of people that way. But a large part of our community is not as active online, or they're more active locally, and it's just been extraordinary to meet so many terrific people and families and parents.
Yeah, I can remember a few years ago when I spoke on the lawn there in front of the Capitol, and we brought so many autism families together. I got so many emails from around the country from folks who said, I wish I could be there, but it's the most challenging thing. You want to participate in these efforts, but it's so very difficult when you have a child with autism to do anything but go to work and then get home to your child.
Which has been, so you meet this whole new swath of people when you actually go to them, and it's been great. It's been really great.
Yeah.
People are very welcoming, interested, engaged, just want to know what to do, in their spare time between when their kids go to bed and they go to bed.
Mark, we're talking with Mark Blacksoul. His book is The Age of Autism, and the website is ageofautism.com. Mark, get us up to speed with some of the most recent science about autism. Any of the studies, peer-reviewed studies that you've seen that have come down the pike recently that you would like to put a spotlight on that you think really bear on this issue and are really worth considering?
Well, there are always interesting things that come out. There's one, I think, of some note that came out earlier this month, which hit on a theme that a number of us are pretty interested in, which is the role of the energy metabolism in autistic people, particularly the little organelles that are the powerhouses of our cells, which are called mitochondria. And one of the things that has been an emerging theme is that kids with autism can have vulnerable mitochondria. That can be affected by toxins, can be affected by mercury, can be disrupted in the process of vaccination, and that injury can lead to developmental problems. And so, one of these studies that came out recently is from a group that is doing good work out in California at the Mind Institute, UC Davis, and they did a very thorough look at mitochondrial function in autistic kids and in typically developing kids, and found with a little bit more depth than some other studies, pretty much the same finding, which is that there are subtle abnormalities in mitochondrial metabolism in autistic kids that suggest that they're more likely to be vulnerable to disruptions in energy metabolism.
Now, I guess the two big questions that might come from this kind of research, number one, does this point towards anything we can do then for the kids that have already been injured? And number two, is there any test that an expectant mother might make or you can give to a newborn that will tell you that they're particularly vulnerable to vaccines or to heavy metals?
Well, on the prevention side, Corey, it's really tough to know the before and after picture. You know, is this after effect that we see of mitochondrial dysfunction, is that something that's just there, or is it something that's actually provoked by the environmental injury? And so it's hard to know, you know, whether you could do a test that would allow you to predict you know, vulnerability and then manage medical procedures differently. We don't know that. We do know that autistic kids end up with mitochondrial dysfunction, but whether that's their fate or whether that's because they get, you know, they get a particular exposure, that's not real clear. You know, what I think it does say is that particularly in, you know, the general prevention message I would say is that when children are in infancy, and that's, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years of age, their energy metabolism is in high gear. And it's in high gear because they're doing one of the hardest things that a human being will ever do in its life, which is to grow its brain. You know, our brains are our most unusual organs. It's what makes us human. And most of the hard work the body does to build that organ happens in the first 2 or 3 years of life. By the time an infant is 3 years old, your brain, your body is still a fraction of what it ultimately grows up to be, but your brain is about 90% of its adult size. And so there's an enormous amount of energy metabolic work going on, you know, in the first couple of years of life, which suggests be careful, you know, interventions, injury, unprecedented exposures are more likely to put an infant brain at risk than at any, or put a brain at risk during infancy than in any other time during life. And I think that argues for precaution in all kinds of medical interventions in a developing child.
Including vaccines.
Including vaccines.
Yeah. We're talking with Mark Blaxwell. The book is Age of Autism. Mark, looking back, put a bow on this year for us. Has this been a good year in the autism community, 2010, in terms of research and politics? Have we made any progress in this country with this unbelievable epidemic?
Boy, I hate to be a pessimist, Coy, but I have to say I think this has been one of the darkest years that I can remember for families with autism. I mean, if you think about where we started, we started the year, you know, just kind of the week before Christmas with Kathleen Sebelius burying the story that we had a rate of autism of 1 in 110 children that were born in 1998. That was, you know, the HHS released that, the results of that survey, the Friday afternoon before Christmas break, which is guaranteed, you know, to bury the story. In the meantime, they were all working full-time on swine flu, which ended up being a non-event. And then since then, you know, we've had, important papers censored, the spreading, widespread dissemination of disinformation. You know, we've ignored, huge news about primate studies of vaccinated versus unvaccinated monkeys. We've ignored studies about the exposures, the risk of exposures to hepatitis B vaccine. And the big story in autism for much of the year was the conviction of Andy Wakefield in the United Kingdom on what I would argue are trumped up charges of medical malpractice. And I think that was a dark day for science in general, when a good man who does the right thing and it just simply responds to what parents have asked him to do is literally hauled up drawn and quartered in the public setting. And our mainstream media don't really stand up to that. So that was the dominant event of the year, and it's hard to look at much of that as a positive thing.
Well, let's hope 2011 is better for this country, and certainly for our children as well. Mark, thank you for all the work that you do, for a fantastic book, and wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Coy. Thanks for having me on.
The website is ageofautism.com, and the book, of course, is The Age of Autism, Mercury, Medicine, and a Man-Made Epidemic. It's must reading if you really want to try to wrap your mind around what's happening in this country.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.